All right, now we're going to talk with our financial planner from investinginTruth.com, Brad Graber. Brad, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Brad, great to have you with us here. You know, we were looking yesterday over a study, I think it was the National Association of Evangelicals, and they were talking about tithing, and it was basically saying that you don't need to give 10% of your tithe to the church. You can consider another ministry, and Kelly and I were talking about, you know, the way we were raised. We were looking at that 10% first goes to our church. Had some great conversation, lots of neat comments yesterday from listeners. So we wanted to revisit this topic on tithing. How do we really start? You know, 10%, I know a lot of times people say, well, is that 10% of your yearly salary, 10% of what you make each check, or 10% after taxes? It's kind of confusing.
Yeah, it's a great conversation to have, though, and I really do enjoy these conversations because it causes us to go back and say, what is God's Word really telling us? And it's easy to take a certain piece of Scripture and be able to grab that and try to roll forward with it, but we need to be taking into account, what does all of Scripture tell us? And just as I'll give you just a brief summary related to that, so as we look at Scripture from beginning to end and how it deals with giving, one of the best explanations I've heard is looking at it from a standpoint of required giving versus voluntary giving. And in the very beginning, we see Abraham giving a tithe, but that was a voluntary giving. He gave 10%, but he did it as a voluntary giving all the way back in Genesis 14. Then we see the Mosaic time, and we see there were actually three tithes that were required of the people at that time. The first one went to the Levites, which was kind of a form of taxation. The second one went to the feasts and festivals, and then there was a third tithe, the third 10% that was given every third year that was given to the poor. So in total, the tithes at that time made up about 23 1/3% of someone's income. Then we move into the New Testament, and the required givings really drop off, and instead Jesus is telling us that the required portion is what we're required to give to our government in taxation. And he commands us to obey that and to pay those taxes. And then above that, we see again that voluntary giving is in all of these phases. So even in the Mosaic time when they had three tithes, there was still a voluntary piece when they were building the tabernacle or when David was building the temple. They were asking for these voluntary offerings in addition to those tithes. So today, I subscribe to the idea of the voluntary giving above the taxation of our government. So we have a lot of freedom in how much we're giving and also in where we're giving that money. And that also brings with it the problems, too, because now we got to wrestle with, oh, well, what am I supposed to be giving? And now it becomes so much of a heart issue, and I believe it is designed in that way because that conforms us more to Christ as we have to wrestle with the heart issue and trying to reflect the grace that we've been shown through Christ on the cross.
You know, I think it's interesting, Brad, and this is Kelly, by the way, that you look at the Old Testament tabernacle, and when the people were bringing things to contribute toward the building of it, there was so much brought that they basically had to say, we have enough, you know, and now we wrestle with how much do we give? Do we give? And share a little bit about, if you would, some of the things that as we give to our church that the giving goes toward, because I think we don't really always have a grasp on what that tithe is going to do in the local church.
Yeah, and with that, let me kind of frame it in a little bit of a different way. Inside the church, we have obligations for supporting the church, and we also have opportunities for supporting the church. So the obligation that we see in Scripture is in providing for those who are teaching us the gospel. So Galatians 6:6 says, the one who receives instructions in the word must share all good things with their instructor. And then we also see in 1 Corinthians 9, it's tying it back to the idea that we used to give, or the Israelites gave a tithe to the temple to support the Levites. And it says, in the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. So those who have an occupation or a livelihood of teaching the gospel to us in the church, we have a responsibility to be giving back to them. And then they're also accountable for our well-being spiritually. But, yeah, there's so many other things that it depends on the church exactly what they're supporting, but it's missions. It's the building that we're meeting in and the keeping of the grounds, which some people don't like. Unfortunately, people don't like giving to those things sometimes because they feel like, oh, well, that money's going into making the building look nicer, but I want it to all be going out in the proclaiming of the word. And I think oftentimes we miss the fact that you know, that's part of the ministry. The way the building looks, having a building to even meet in, that is all part of the ministry and reaching our local community with the gospel. So there are so many things inside your church, and I challenge everybody to find out where that money is going in the church and finding out how that is actually promoting the gospel in their own community and challenging themselves to see that, because our leaders are making those decisions. So our elders, our pastors are making those decisions on where that money is being spent and trying to steward that money as well as possible. So there is a gospel mindset behind how that money is being spent. And sometimes it's easy for us on the outside to criticize and say, oh, well, I would rather give my money somewhere else where 100% of it's going to spreading the gospel to the world. But in reality, that's really what our church is trying to accomplish at the same time.
We're talking with Brad Graber. Our financial planner joins us every Tuesday at 7:30. You can check out his teachings at investinginTruth.com, investinginTruth.com. I want to dovetail off of that a little bit more, Brad, about challenging us to just to see where the financial aspects of our church, how that is working. How do we do that? You know, let's say we've got a question. We've been giving to a church we've been attending for a number of years. How does one approach as a member of the flock to see where is it an open book with the church, where the money's going?
Yeah, and it may be a little bit different from church to church. I certainly like it when a church is an open book, because if I'm giving my money there, then I feel like I have a little bit of a stewardship responsibility, too, to make sure that that the money is being stewarded well. So I need to be able to evaluate that. But having the conversation with whether it's deacons or elders or even the pastors at your church to find out exactly where the money is going and getting involved, that's one of the huge things of giving to our church is the unity that it can bring. And it's that old saying, well, the old verse, Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we're giving to our church, then our heart is also going to be interested in the church. As our heart is interested in the church, then that's where our time needs to be getting spent. As our time's being spent there, and as our money's going there, then we're building relationships inside the church in the time that we're spending, in the ministries that we're involved in, and what we find is a more cohesive body being built because our money is being given to the church. So as we ask those questions, if there's an area that we're struggling to get behind or to understand or to even be passionate about, it's okay to go investigate that, find out where the money's going, and oftentimes what I find is as people dig in more, they find out why those decisions are being made and how the gospel is being spread and proclaimed through those sides of the ministry, and they get more and more interested in it, and then they start spending more time in it, and before you know it, they've got a real heart for whatever that was that originally they may have been critical of just because of a lack of information.
Well, and I like also, Brad, that you point out in your article that you've written, which is part of, by the way, for those of you listening, Brad's financial boot camp series, which you can access on his website, investinginTruth.com. But you point out that, and you kind of touched on this a little bit ago, too, just a couple of minutes ago, that we do need to submit to and obey our leaders. And I know when we talk about submitting and obeying, and then we attach that to finances, we can get a little bit prickly about that. But I think when we do, it's just because our hearts may not be aligned where they need to be, and we're not understanding what that submission and obedience always means.
You said it well, and I really like that you're bringing this up, because if we're struggling, well, we're commanded to submit to our leaders, so there is a hierarchy that's basically designed by Scripture there, that our leaders are responsible for our spiritual well-being, and we're called to submit to their leadership. And if we're struggling to do that financially, then we need to really reflect and say, how well am I doing that spiritually? Because the spiritual side is so much more important, but yet sometimes we can put our priority on the financial side, and that sometimes seems more tangible. So if we're struggling to release our finances to the leadership of the church, we really need to take that time of reflection and ask ourselves, are we really doing it spiritually? And if not, then we've got other issues we need to wrestle with.